So we come to the reading, and it's taken from Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 5 and until verse 13. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One second. I'm looking for another Bible. Can I borrow one? Thank you. I have 2 Bibles to preach with, one to look at, the other to lift my notes a little higher. Good evening, everyone. Good to be here with you. Let me pray for us. Just going to read from the beginning of Luke 11, just a few verses before where we began. These familiar words: "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" So, Lord, as you taught your disciples then with these very words that we read tonight, so we make the same request. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. What's the greatest favor you've ever asked of a friend? Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to share it with your neighbor. What's the greatest favor you've ever asked of a friend? A really big ask, pushing that relationship almost to its limits, what a friendship can bear. A friend, this is, not a member of your family. And there's a difference when it comes to what you can ask. If relationships are good in a family, in fact, sometimes, even when they're not so good, you can normally ask more of a family member. The relationship can take it, or you can just take some things for granted. You can normally ask more, help with a deposit for a house, for example, or for childcare when you're desperate and you've run out of all other options, or you're trying to return to work and you just need just some big asks that you can make of family. You got yourself into some trouble, mum, dad. But friends, what's the greatest favor you've ever asked a friend? We're looking at prayer this term. I hope you've realized that. Morning and evening, a series running right across the autumn. We began by looking at Old Testament prayers, some of the big prayers in the Old Testament, Last Sunday, we spent the whole day, morning and evening, looking at Jesus's long prayer in John 17, morning and through into the evening. And then for this half term, maybe you didn't even realize it was half term, it is half term, that means something to some people and nothing to others. We're just taking a little break from looking at actual prayers in the Bible, and we're looking at three parables on prayer that Jesus taught. And today, Luke 18 in the morning, Luke 11 this evening, they are both parables about persistence and boldness in prayer. Parable we looked at this morning, Jackie preached, you can see it online, began this, Jesus, it begins this way, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the parable this morning was the persistent widow, and in some ways the theme is very similar, although as we'll see a little different tonight, the parable is the friend at midnight. That's why I asked you about the favor that you may have asked of a friend, a big favor. And I want to focus on the parable here, verses 5-8 in the verses that Bronwyn read to us. But before I focus on the parable, I want us to see how in the larger context of this section, Luke chapter 11, where his disciples ask him to teach them how to pray, Jesus uses two relationships to teach on prayer. And the first relationship is the relationship of a father. And if you see, that's how this section, Luke verses 1 through to 13, begins. He teaches them to pray, say, Father, and then how it ends. Which of you fathers? How much more will your Father in heaven? So the parable of the friend is sandwiched between the teaching about God as Father and our confidence to approach him as a good father. That frames this teaching about the friend at midnight. I preached, in fact, on verses 1 to 4 of Luke 11, right at the beginning of this series, where we looked at verses 1 to 4 and Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, which is simpler than Matthew's version. It begins, verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Father, just Father. As opposed to Matthew's gospel, we're more used to our Father in heaven. And in fact, for a few weeks after I'd preached on that, and I hope you know that preachers try to listen to their own sermons, and having preached on it for a few weeks on my own prayer times, I enjoyed using Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer rather than the longer version, which is more from all the stuff that you also have in Matthew. I really enjoyed, just in my prayer times, praying not our Father in heaven or my Father in heaven, but just Father. And there was just a simplicity and a familiarity, easy for me to say, an intimacy, kind of beauty about just Father. Try it. Sometimes we get so used to praying the Lord's Prayer one way. Try it this way and just relish the immediacy, the simplicity of just Father. So Father frames the teaching in this passage. It's the primary relationship that defines Christian prayer, characterizes Christian prayer. In prayer, it's to the Father, Ephesians, through the Son, by the Spirit. But around this, or in the middle of this teaching about God as Father and how that frames Christian prayer, in the middle we have this parable about a friend. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And this, the teaching here is a little different. There is a contrast here between friendship and our relationship with God. There's a contrast between friendship and how we can relate to God. It's true, of course, elsewhere, the Bible does speak about our relationship with God as being like a friendship. In fact, quite a few of the songs that we've sung this evening, and one that we're going to sing soon after, we sung about, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. Abraham was called in the Old Testament a friend of God. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, I now call you friends. So the Bible certainly uses the relationship of a friend to describe our relationship with God. But here in this parable, the teaching is a little different to that. And the point is that friendship has its limits. There's only so much you can ask of a friend, or it's polite or acceptable to ask of a friend. But if you persist and you're bold, then even a friend will eventually give you what you want. Yep. That's the conclusion, that the friend says to me, verse 7, don't bother me. You are asking too much of me at this hour of the night. Yep. He says, the door's locked, my children and I are in bed, everyone's tucked up. The picture here is of one room, one bed, everyone in, they're all asleep. I can't get up and help you. I'll wake everyone. If you've ever been a parent of small children, you know how that is vital. I'm not waking the little ones. We have a variety of babysitters, Ellen and I, over the years, and you can always tell the babysitters have been parents, because when they turn up, they knock very quietly on the door. You get a teenager to come and be a baby. They're like, ring on the bell! But anyone who's been a parent, quiet. In fact, you often don't even hear it. You know, they've been at the door for 5 minutes. So they don't want to wake anyone. So there's this person, don't bother me. The children are now in bed. I can't get up. You are asking too much of our friendship. Yet, verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, or in your version, you've got the church Bibles, because of your boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Friendship has its limits. There is only so much you can ask of a friend. But if you persist, even a friend will eventually give you what you want. How much more God? This is one of these how much more parables. It was the same this morning in Luke chapter 18. The parable there was the unjust judge and the persistent widow. And if that's how an unjust judge acts, then how much more God? The point there was persistence. The friend at midnight is perhaps a little bit different. It's not so much persistence, it's boldness. Because of the man's boldness, and the version that I've got in front of me, the new NIV, you've got slightly older NIVs in your pews, is this phrase, yet because of your shameless audacity. I love that phrase. It's such an unusual, when was the last time you said shameless audacity? So it jumps out of you. It's such an unusual, arresting phrase. And I looked through the way that different Bible versions translate this word, this phrase as a whole number. Boldness, sheer persistence, importunity. When was the last time you said importunity? The Puritans used to talk about importunity in prayer. It's very similar to another way this is often translated, impudence. Because of your impudence, because of your brashness, because of your boldness, because of your chutzpah. It's a Jewish term, meaning really very much the same thing. Because you're not ashamed to keep on asking. That the Message version, Eugene Peterson, goes this way. If you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he will finally get up and get you whatever you need. Are you a God botherer? When I was, I guess, younger, God botherers, it was kind of insult for Christians, wasn't it? And I've always assumed it meant that it's because Christians went around bothering people about God. I've assumed that's what it meant. Don't bother me about God. But here, Christians are encouraged to be God botherers, not to bother people about God, but to bother God about people and our needs. The man says, don't bother me. This is an encouragement to bother God until we get what we want. Now, of course, we have to hold this teaching in balance with the mystery and the pain of unanswered prayer. All of us will know not just a few instances, but many instances of prayers that we have prayed that have not been answered. And not just the little ones, but big ones. For health and life. All of us know those. It was the theme of the prayer course this week that so many of us are doing crossing the church hall on Thursdays. The whole evening was devoted to unanswered prayer, and it was so healthy and helpful to acknowledge and to speak about the disappointment and the hurt and the pain and the confusion that can come from unanswered prayer, to talk about it from the front and to talk about it too in smaller groups, quite personally, about significant unanswered prayer in life. Sometimes Christians say that, you know, prayer always has an answer. You know, and there's three possible answers. There's yes, and there's wait, and there's no. And that, of course, is absolutely true. But I like Wayne Grudem, who's some of you might know Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. He is in his section on prayer. He says that of course is true, three possible answers. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. It's not just that you didn't get the answer you wanted. You were hoping for a yes, and instead you got a wait or a no. It's not just that. It's that it feels like you didn't even get an answer. Theologically, maybe prayer is, you know, always answered, but experientially, sometimes it feels like God is sleeping, and he hasn't got up. And it's healthy, even though we know that is not the case, to acknowledge that that is sometimes the way it feels, to wrestle and to be open about unanswered prayer. And in time, I think I found this was helpful in the discussion at the prayer course, to come to terms with, to come to peace with that, to come to peace even in the pain of prayer that has not been answered the way we'd want it to be or feel we haven't even got an answer. We might find peace in that, and as we grow as Christians, we should. But this parable encourages us that while we might find peace, we are to give God no peace. Just going back to the point of this parable, here we have a clear encouragement from Jesus to give God no peace, to, if you like, to push our luck with God. Going back to that phrase, shameless audacity. To make a noise, to kick up a fuss, and who cares what the neighbors think and what time of night it is. Again, that version from the Message. If you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and give you whatever you need. This passage goes on, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. And sometimes we think about that kind of knocking in prayer as a sort of timid knock at the door, like the well-behaved babysitter. But no, this kind of knocking is the banging down of the doors of heaven. They're waking everyone up in the house and outside. I hope you know that in November, we've got a 24/7 week of prayer. Well, it's not 24/7, it's 24/5, I think. It's running from Sunday night through to the Friday. If you're wondering why that is, it's because there's a booking that has been in for a year at least on the Saturday, and we just couldn't work out a worker, couldn't move them on. So 24/5. Please join in. We're going to be praying, if you know, 24/7, right through the day and right through the night, midnight. Not just midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. We are, if you like, we're giving God no rest. And we do that confident that he's given us permission, encouragement, command even to pray this way, to make these kind of bold, shameless requests. Because God is not like a friend. He's better than a friend. That's the point of this parable. In friendship, you often have to ask the question, am I asking too much? Am I asking too many favors? Apologies that all my illustrations tonight are about childcare, but Ellen and I are juggling family, and you may know this, you know, with school pickups and babysitting and so on. We actually not so much, but especially Ellen always has to think, have I asked too many favors of this particular person? You know, am I just pushing it? Maybe you're thinking, yeah, she's asked too many favors of me. She's a good recruiter, my wife. She knows very little shame when it comes to asking. But, you know, have I asked too much of this particular? Is that just, you know, beyond what's appropriate? Do I at least need to offer a few favors before I ask another one? You may know that kind of experience. There is such a thing as asking too much of a friendship and being rightly embarrassed, if you like. But in prayer, we are encouraged to go beyond what you would ask of a friend, to be shameless, to be not embarrassed at all about what we ask God. So where do you need greater, well, I'm going to go through the list again of those words. Where do you need in your prayer life greater brashness, impudence, importunity, sheer persistence, chutzpah? Where do you need to stand your ground and bother God right through the night? To ask and keep on asking, to knock, keep on knocking, to seek until you find. But then to remember, and here's the contrast, just zooming back to the whole of Luke 11, then to remember and to rest in the knowledge and the peace that comes from knowing that God is not a friend, he is a father, and we can trust him to give good gifts, the right gifts, at the right times to his dearly loved children. Let's pray together. So Lord, we pray, teach us to pray, help us to pray, give us that right balance, if that's not too weak a word, between wrestling and restlessness in our prayer, and yet also the rest and peace that comes from knowing you as our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to pray. Amen.